Now let's turn our attention to the Word of God, to the Gospel of Matthew, to the account there of Herod. Our title of our message is Through Herod's Eyes, so pay attention to Herod as we read. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was fulfilled, what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all of that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time when he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. This, of course, is the continuation of the story that we looked at last week when we looked at the Christ child, the birth of the king, through the eyes of the Magi. The eyes of the Magi were historic eyes, alien eyes, eyes that were looking upon something extremely special that had come into them by special revelation from God Himself. Through the appearance and the guidance of the star, they had made their way all the way to Jerusalem, to the capital city, where you would expect a child king to be born. There they had found that they must even go to another place, and they had been aided by the royal scribes who found in the scriptures the orthodoxy which said where Jesus would be born. We've seen the eyes of Simeon, the old man that had longed and waited for the consolation of Israel, that when he saw the Christ child, he looked at him through perceptive eyes, perceiving in him the mission that he would have and the life that he would lead and the things that he would accomplish and the things that he would do even to his mother and the great work of Christ in bringing salvation and redemption. We look through the eyes of Anna or Hannah, the old woman there in the quarters of the temple, undoubtedly doing service of some kind in the temple to either the king's people or to the priest people. She looked at the Christ through the eyes of anticipation, The 84 years of her life had seen an incredible amount of things happen in Jerusalem and in the land about. And now she sees God's fulfillment of the long expected, the long awaited Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. So her eyes were eyes filled with satisfaction and fulfillment. God had brought it to pass. Her waiting and the waiting of Israel was over. The long expected Christ had come. But woven throughout all of this historically is this man, Herod. Herod looked at the Christ through a totally different set of eyes. While positive and affirming and rejoicing and glad, we saw here that the Magi were rejoiced with exceeding joy when they saw the Christ. Not so Herod. Herod's eyes are filled with envy, jealousy, paranoia, cruelty. For this had characterized his life. To really understand the New Testament times, you can't avoid Herod the Great. Herod the Great had come to power literally. His father had been placed into power after Pompey's conquest of Jerusalem by Rome in 63 BC. His father had been placed in a position of authority over that general region. His father Antipater had ruled throughout the days of Julius Caesar. And then, upon the assassination of Julius Caesar, and there came to be others in power, Antony and Octavian and others, arose two sons of Antipater. The younger son, Herod, would be the one who would eventually curry favor with the Senate in Rome and be awarded the title King of the Jews. And it would be with great ceremony, with Augustus Caesar on one arm and Antony on the other, he walked all the way up and made a sacrifice in Rome to the pagan god. Much pomp and circumstance and ceremony. This man was given to all of the adulation that a petty Mideastern potentate could ever have. His whole life was spent giving glory to others in order that he might receive greater glory to himself. He courted those who were in charge of the Olympics, and he was made the superintendent of all the Olympics. And he began to build great works throughout his over 40 years. In fact, if you look at it materialistically, he was the greatest king of the Jews since King Solomon. The borders of his territory, the splendor of his reign, the power, all accrued to King Herod. And he was happy with that term, Herod the Great. From 38 BC until the days of the childhood of Jesus, he ruled in Israel. It was a rule of terror and butchery. While building great things, a seaport city at Caesarea, great palaces at Herodium, great fortresses at Masada, great palace at Jericho, he enlarged the temple and the royal court area of Jerusalem. There has never been before, building the great tower in honor of Antony, the Tower of Antonio, where he had ensconced Roman rule over the Jewish people. His entire life was spent currying the favor of Rome, and Rome rewarded him by giving him one honor and one title after another. But while he was given the title King of the Jews or King of Judea, he was obliged to secure that throne with savagery and butchery. 10 wives over the course of his lifetime, murdering, marrying into the Hasmonean dynasty, which had ruled in its priestly rule for over 100 years in Jerusalem. Those that had brought somewhat a state of independence to Israel after the days of the cruel Syrian overlords, they now had some freedom, but Herod quickly put a stop to that. Throughout his lifetime, he murdered his own sons. And eventually, just a few years before his death, Herod had managed to exterminate the dynasty of the Hasmonean family, the Maccabeans, and killed many of his own sons. So the notion that there was a little child born, another son, that was the heir of the Jewish throne, sent this paranoid old man into a fit of cruelty like none he had ever seen before. And so he sought to conspire with the Magi, who had troubled him greatly, but now he was going to do with them as he had done with countless others, both at Rome as well as around the world, and certainly there in Jerusalem. He was going to use them for his own means. And so he asked them to go find the child. And when you found the child, come back and tell me that I too may go and worship. Herod had no intention, of course, of bowing down to Christ. For the eyes of Herod were the eyes of the serpent. The eyes of the serpent. The destroyer. The accuser. The deceiver. You say, Ron, that's kind of graphic. That sounds a little bit like overstatement. Let me tell you just in a few moments why I say that. The eyes of Herod was the eyes of the serpent. First of all, you need to know something about Herod's background. Herod was not a Jew. He was not a descendant of Jacob, Israel. Instead, he was actually a descendant of Esau. He was an Idumean. His father was from Edom, was an Edomite. His mother was an Arab. He was not of the chosen people. He was not of the lineage of the birthright. He was not of the lineage of the promise. He was not of the lineage of the covenant. He was not the rightful heir. He was not a descendant of Jacob, nor a descendant of David at all, as was Christ, the rightful heir to the Davidic throne. But instead, Herod was a descendant of Esau, and he had the same exact characteristics that we see in his ancient ancestor, Esau. The Bible tells us that Esau was a sensual man, that he was given over to lust. We find that Esau was a driven man. He was a contentious man. He had no regard for the things of the Lord, had no regard for the things of that should be treasured by the godly man. He was willing quickly to sell his birthright. He was willing to do the things that violated the wishes of his father and mother. Esau married Hittite women, foreign women, that vexed the soul of Rebekah all the days of his life, Rebekah, his mother. Esau was someone who was constantly doing the exact wrong thing in life. Now, of course, Jacob was no particular example in his youth either of a godly man, but we know what God by sovereign grace did in the life of Jacob. So that as he was an old man just before his death, he was leaning on his staff and worshiping the Lord God of his fathers. Not so Esau. Esau generated a nation who had a lot of great characteristics. If you read about Edom in the Old Testament, they were a wealthy people. They were a strong people. The little book of Nahum talks about them, prophecies concerning them. They were known for their wisdom. They were considered to be of the wise. They were prosperous. They had a lot of good things going for them, the 12 sons of Esau. But the one thing they held throughout their entire history, and it even went beyond the story in this book to 70 AD in history, the one thing the Edomites did was they vexed Israel. They hated God's people. And every time they got half a chance, they would do something that was deleterious to the welfare of the nation of Israel. They were much so that you might say, if you look at the scriptures, and I know some of you are schooled in this way of thinking, and maybe some of you aren't, but if you read the Bible kind of back a pace or two and see the broad picture of Scripture and holy history as it unveils itself to us from the days of Adam and Noah and Abraham all the way forward through the Bible. You can see in the Scriptures a contrast between the godly people, the godly line of mankind, kind of the kingdom of God, the city of God, people who bow their knees to the Lord, who receive the promises of God, who find favor and grace in the eyes of God. And you see also in the Scriptures the ungodly line, those that hate God, rebel against God, defy God, curse God, ignore God. And you see this playing all the way down through Scripture. And oftentimes, you'll see them come in contrast and conflict with one another. You see it in Cain and Abel. You see it in Jacob and Esau. You see it in David and Goliath. And you see it over and over in Scripture, a conflict between the godly line and a satanic, serpentine line. And Herod was that man, that destroyer, who in the fullness of time was in a position to thwart God in the giving of the child. John the Revelator received in one of his visions an interesting one. Let me read a portion of it. Revelation 12. And a great sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, and under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to His throne. The vision goes on talking about great warfare between the serpent, the dragon, Satan, and God and His male child, His Messiah, His anointed one. These are the eyes of Herod. It's interesting, he said that he sought the child to kill him. 2 things we must be grateful for this morning. Number one is that God was victorious in protecting the child. In the vision of John, the child was simply caught up to heaven and protected that way, which is a very brief summary of the life of Christ leading to His ascension and enthronement. God's royal Son, the one who is the ruler of all, the King of the kings, survived and thrived and accomplished His mission of salvation and redemption. The second thing we must be grateful for today is that there is a remnant. There is a remnant. God has graciously and sovereignly and lovingly and mercifully placed His affection upon a people, His own. Call them to Himself. Saved them from their sins. Enabled them to bow their knees to the royal authority of Jesus Christ. to obey His commandments and to follow their Shepherd King wherever He leads. The eyes of Herod sought to kill Him. The eyes of the others that we've seen sought to praise Him, to adore Him, to thank God for Him, to bow before Him. Which one of these camps do you find yourself in?